The Sunday Morning Linux Review with Mary Tomich, Tom Lawrence, and Tony Bemis as the Beaver.
And this is episode 199.
Ooh, 199. Fresh looks. Fresh looks, Snappy versus Flatpak.
Yes, package management of the future.
Yes. You know, as you heard, when we lightly touched on it in our last episode, we were looking at Ubuntu's Snappy, and then also we were talking a little bit about Red Hats. I guess I'll call it Red Hats because they're the ones that are doing it. Flatpak. So what we decided to do is to do a bit, well, I'm trying to put myself in there, but actually what Tom's going to be doing this episode is he's going to be doing a deep dive into both of those, and we think that you'll find it interesting, right?
Yeah. Got to get in, you know, because package management is important feature of Linux distribution, and a few different ideas out there, and let's do some comparison on them.
Cool. All right. Well, excellent. Well, take it away, Tom.
Linux package management has always been kind of fun at times and maybe a little bit challenging, but it was a great learning experience and is probably why I know so much about Linux today. So when I started out in the 90s, it was always the RPM hell that we would get caught up in, or dependency hell as it was probably accurately called later, which is I tried to install an application and that would turn into an adventure in trying to find all the dependencies and everything good. Now that's the 90s. Trying to get everything launched in the 90s, maybe it's a little hard. Early days of Linux, it was tough. I did a lot of learning because I was determined, and you had to really love Linux back then to really make it work. Well, then came along Yum and Apt, and Apt is really what got me switched over to the Debian model because it just worked. Apt, if you want to install something, would then find all the other dependencies and put them in place. So I would want to install a single application. Apt would go out and do all the troubleshooting for me of going, that application depends on all of these libraries. So it would run out and find all the libraries and build the system up for you. This has been a great system, and it's really gotten us all the way till recent times. But it's not the most trouble-free system. For example, I had a new version of Ubuntu, and Ubuntu had decided to leave out a library that was supporting the Kden Live video editing software I had. Well, this brought me back to my 90s self of dependency hell of trying to make it work properly, because Kden Live depended on a couple libraries that Ubuntu decided to switch out for other libraries due to some management dispute between the packaging people, and I had a broken system that didn't edit video the proper way. So, like I said, brought me right back to my 90s dependency hell. So they're trying to solve all these problems by rolling dependencies in to one system. Now, the two competing systems out there right now, there's a ton of them out there, I know. I'm just going to cover today the big guys, which is Snappy, backed by Canonical, and Flatpak, backed by Fedora. Two really big influencers in the Linux community. Now, they're essentially the same concept. Now, this goes back to the way we've seen how effective apps are on phones. We bundle the application together, we download it from a store, and the application just works. You don't spend a lot of time on your phone finding all the support libraries or anything else. Android, for example, just has an API call, and as long as a vendor calls through those APIs, they can interface and have an independent application stack that runs right inside of it, just making certain API calls, and each one is set up with its own directory, its own security, and is independent of the others. Now, Apple does the same thing too. So that, how can that be applied into the Linux world? Well, they looked at it and said, well, let's take a look at this. Instead of having dependencies, what if we rolled in the dependencies? So Snappy and Flatpak were born for this concept. Now, this is different than containers used by things like Docker. This is more aimed at the desktop. Because it's, for example, these are meant to interact with Dbus and other user environments, so users can just load an application into the user environment and set it up on their system and have an easy way to do it. Now, I think this is going to lead to a lot of innovation in the market, but it's still buggy. I've tried it, and that's what I'm going to get into here. So the first is the difference in a little bit of the security. Flatpak does integrate with SE Linux extensions, and Snappy does not. The other major difference between them is Flatpak, you can just grab a Flatpak file from anywhere and load it. Snappy is more of a store-based system. Snappy and Flatpak allow packaging to occur completely upstream on the developer side, which means they no longer have to give up the source code to whoever who will package this, which leads to inferior solution to the user because they fire far higher memory and storage. And this is another problem with these is you, when you're doing these and you're packaging the systems, they don't need to include any of the source code, which people are kind of upset about. So that's kind of one issue that veers away from the Linux community. The other thing is when you're packaging all the libraries together, you have a ton of redundancy on here. So just for example, the Ubuntu calculator app via Snap is 120 megabytes because the libraries are bundled in there because they want to make sure everything is there to run. But on the other side of it, hard drives are cheap, bandwidth is cheap, it's getting cheaper every day. So I don't know how much of an issue this is. The advantages are pretty staggering though. I look at some of the applications and thinking, wow, if they can keep it all self-contained and a developer can use the libraries the developer wants to use without worries that they'll be available to the user, they may be able to write some better software and have it packaged and have it update. So this is one of the big back and forths that go with this of, okay, I'm gonna start sucking up a lot more hard drive space, but I'm going to get packages that a developer who goes, I need bleeding edge on all of these tools, and they're not approved yet into the standard library of repositories that's on the major distributions, they can include this in here. Now, Ubuntu being store-based is interesting because Snappy requires a store for authentication, but this also allows some vetting because if they have a store that they control, and as I've seen, there are some people that have duplicated the store, so by default, yes, you're going to use Canonical Store, but you can write third-party stores. The store looks like it's all open source, at best I can tell, so you can duplicate and create your own store that you would add to the system, much in a way you can add separate stores to Android, such as the Amazon store. But this allows some vetting by the store, because when you're packaging everything up in a binary blob with all the libraries on there, you are letting yourself at risk, making sure that developer is doing it. Now, with Flatpak, there's no store required. You can just grab a Flatpak file, run it on your computer, and anything that it has permission to, but you don't always know what's inside of it because this is all pre-compiled into one file. Now, Flatpak does have an advantage over Snappy because it can share a library. So if you're getting from a single developer, and as I understand the structure, and all this can change a little bit because this stuff's all in beta, you can grab a Flatpak from a developer and have several applications installed and then use a shared library across them to help reduce the size of the Flatpak applications. Snappy runs each application individually, which has led to our 120 megabyte Ubuntu calculator app. Now, I also took a look at the size that you get from like LibreOffice. So LibreOffice on the Windows platform is 238 megs and the Flatpak is 156 megs, which is interesting because if you get the deb package, your normal installer for Linux, it's 229 megs and so is the RPM at 229 megs. And the Snap is 278. So you're still seeing that a little bit of extra hard drive space used based on the bundling in of all the libraries. Now, another big concern I have, if you bundle in all the libraries and there's a flaw. Now, for example, the SSL flaw. When in normal circumstances, I would just update my system and it's going to update the SSL library and then therefore all things that depend on that library are now fixed. And if you have developers who maybe have abandoned some of the projects, which does happen from time to time, and they don't update their Snappy image, you would have a broken project running on a broken library versus if you're running an old piece of software, but it has a dependency in SSL, you don't need to update the software, you just need to update the SSL library and it fixes it. Because each of the libraries being bundled in Flatpak and in Snappy, you don't have that. You don't know what version they're using. You have to do a little digging in there. And you're like, well, I don't know. I got this Snappy and it was updated 2 weeks ago, but did the developer use the latest version of the library? This is where Snappy running in a store and doing some internal inspection, I think has a good advantage there because they can go through and say, yes, they used the latest libraries to build this package. They've bundled in the latest libraries to build this package. This package does not have any flaws in it. I mean, maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe I'm a little tinfoil hat on this, but that is a big concern because security is huge. When people find a hole, there are plenty of people looking to exploit the hole in that system. Now, the back and forth on this for the size, not too big of a deal, but now we're going to go back into talking about phones because we know everything's going to these mobile and ARM devices. And by doing that, you look at the Snappy system and you go, ah, I see where they're going with this. Ubuntu's developed their phone. They plan to start releasing it very soon. And they're going to do some public I believe it's ready for production. I believe in Europe and China, they're going to release it. I don't know their exact timeline, but I believe it is right here in 2016. So now they're going to be shipping Ubuntu Foam. This is where Snappy is being pushed really hard by Canonical, because with the phone systems, you need a package manager, because you can't really sit on the phone and add all the dependencies. That's going to get tedious. That's going to get tricky. And it's really not aimed at the consumers. So with Snappy coming along for the phone systems, this makes a lot of sense, because now they can individually update everything. Now, this also brings forth a lot of cross-platform options in this. For example, running on phone is not going to generally run on x86. But with Snappy, they can create it because they're developing the libraries. And this is the same for Flatpak. When you're compiling this, you're going to choose all the compile options. So you're going to build your application, know what dependencies your application needs, and then compile all of them at once. So I'm going to compile an ARM, a RISC, and then an x86 and an x64 module, and then they can just download whichever one. So this is a pretty cool way to do it, and you don't have to worry about, oh man, if I develop this app and they want to run it on a Raspberry Pi, could they run it on a Raspberry Pi? Sure. Could they run it on the phone? Sure. So this is going to open up a lot more of that. Another side effect that I'm kind of hoping happens, I'm generally really, really prefer open source software. I live in the real world, though, where sometimes I can't use things that are open source because I have a business to run and I need to get work done. I would love it if Adobe looked at this and go, there's our opportunity. Because one of the most requested features Adobe gets is, can I run Photoshop on Linux? And I'm sorry, GIMP fans, it doesn't work as good. I really wish. I mean, I've donated to projects. I am ready for a project that works as good as Adobe Photoshop. And just copy some of the, in parody some of the things. Hasn't happened. So if Adobe's looked at and seized opportunity going, you know, we could just roll all our binaries in, roll all of our support libraries into a Flatpak or a Snappy, and make a distribution model that works simply through a store that people have to pay for, and they will buy our software. Yes, I bought it on Windows. I'll buy it on Linux. I need that to run. I need that to get my graphics and all of my editing done for when I'm producing things. I'm willing to pay for it, and I'm sure some of these companies out there look at it. Now, Steam does something similar with their distribution system, but not quite as fluid yet. And I'm hoping this will be another option for them. Maybe they'll look at adopting it. This is how they port over games to Linux that come in via the Steam store. It's not quite as fluid as this, but this is another option for some of the gaming community, which is also a lot of my friends' number one complaint. I would run Linux, but XYZ game doesn't work on there, and that's my favorite game. That is a big hang-up. Gamers not really concerned about the operating system. They want to play the game. And if the game's not available for them, they can't play it. So I'm hoping Snappy kind of drives some of the innovation over for that as well. Now, all these apps are independent and self-contained. They're using a back-end file system. They're using a transactional system, in the case of Snappy, that allows quick rollbacks. So you can actually roll an application forward as you update it and jump it backwards because it wasn't the update that you want. So that's pretty cool. I have found some bugs when I was doing it. Right now, Snappy really isn't ready for production. If you only encrypt your home drive right away, one of my systems I set that up for, it fails when you try to install packages. Well, actually, when you try to run packages, because they're looking directly at the home drive as opposed to the EcryptFS drive. So that kept me from playing with it on the system that I had set up for it for a little while. But the command system works very similar to your apt command line. So it's snap instead of apt. Snapped find will just list out all the applications available. And there's a handful. It's not a long list. You can pipe it through grep and narrow down what you're looking for. You can use regex expressions to find the package you want and install it. You do it the same with sudo snap install package name. And once you run the package and install it, it installs like any other package. You go through, it's in the system. If it's got a graphical icon, it launches from there. You can launch it from a command line. Now, before you can even get this far, let's roll back just a little bit. You have to do snap login, and the snap login authenticates you against the store with your Ubuntu One login. So to even get this set up at all, you start with the Ubuntu One login and activate it and go from there. Flatpak works very similar. You know, Flatpak run, and you can run the Flatpak programs that are in there, Flatpak remote LS, and then the authentication part for them is a little different. See, first you set up Flatpak, you add some PPAs to add it to Ubuntu. It's built in on, as of Ubuntu 16.04, Snappy's built in, but Flatpak, you have a PPA you can add to put it in there. So once you put it in there, you go Flatpak remote LS and no maps, --app, and you can list some of the apps in there with the remote ls command. Now, because it's not doing validation from Snora, there's no login for you to do. Because Snappy does that validation, that's why I had to actually log in so they understand what Snappy what pieces you've loaded from there. Now, it was pretty simple to install either one of these and run application from. Not a big deal. As you download, they download like another package. But instead, like when you run apt-get install and you install one thing and it finds all the other things that go with it, so it lists them all out, it does just like it says. It's one single package. So it tells you they're downloading, gives you the size of the package, and it's downloading. And that's how I know that the calculator app is 120 megabytes. But everything works much the same once you run the application. I didn't notice any major differences in there. Like I said, this is all still beta, but in concept, it's a really neat system. I don't know that we're ready to replace the entire apt-get or yum systems on Red Hat with it, but you're looking at a system that's definitely pretty cool, and it may have some very specific uses. Obviously, the phone use is huge. Raspberry Pi, loading a couple packages without having to get caught in some of the dependencies is pretty good. But you still are, for now, going to need the underlying OS and a system that works. Now, I think this could be really good for web browsers because it can provide extra sandboxing for them and an easy way to update that package and have that bundled in there. I don't know for some of the more complicated things like Apache and PHP that it would ever come that far. Generally, we're still using some of the Docker instances and containers in that world. And it doesn't really seem to be targeted towards the server operating systems. They're really targeting for an end user experience on the desktop. Whether or not they'll pivot a little and move into that so people can just add modules to their web interface. So as they're building an application server to serve up pages, they can add different Snappy modules to provide functionality. Might be interesting. I actually have a concept I think they might be working towards is as we see more not running actual desktops, but as they refer to it, desktop as a service, you might actually see someone going in and having a module spun up and installing each of these and running the applications they want inside of there. Might be kind of a neat use scenario for setting that up. But overall, I'm excited. I love to see that there's some competition, so I don't know who's going to win, or maybe there is no winner and we just have two different variants. We have survived for years with the couple different variants we have for package management. You know, if you're in the Red Hat world, you're running Yum, and if you're in the Debian world, you're running apt. So I don't know that there's really going to need to be a winner. I know everyone in the Linux controversy and in the forums are like, pick this one or pick that one, and it doesn't always work that way. So, yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on it. It's pretty neat, and I'm happy to share this with you. And I'm looking forward to the future and how it holds on all this. And I'm not sure if I'm ready for an Ubuntu phone, but I'm definitely going to be taking a look at it when they launch. Thanks.
Wow, Tom, that was pretty interesting. I learned a lot from...
I had to learn a lot to put it together.
I know, but you're a better research.
You're a better person for it, though. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the roads that these two... package approaches take over the next couple of years. So,
for sure.
Okay. All right. So we're coming to the end. You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Linux Review. This was episode 199.
That's right. Snappy versus Flatpak.
Yep.
This is Tony Bemis.
Mary Tomich.
And Tom Lawrence.
See you next time.
You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Linux Review. If you would like more information about this or other shows, go to smlr.us. Feel free to send comments to show@smlr.us or give us a call at 734-258-7009. I'm John Miller. If you don't like it, you can
bite my 8-bit metal ass. That's bite with a Y.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. K. Wisher, Honky Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
Linux Luddites is a show where we try out all the latest free and open source software and then decide we like the old stuff better.
More than just news and releases, we check out a wide range of Linux distros, cover your feedback, talk about obscure command line programs, discuss burning issues over a pint, and much, much more. So join me, Paddy,
and me, Joe, every 2 weeks for news, reviews, comment, and generally being grumpy at LinuxLuddites.com.
Linux Luddites, because not all change is progress.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night for the interactive live show. Visit lhspodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your mind.
The Linux Link Tech Show, live every Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Tune in to the world's longest-running Linux podcast. On the web, www.tllts.org. By email, techshow@thelinuxlink.net. IRC channel, thelinuxlink.net, port 6667/techshow. And Flying Rich is so hot.